The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hello and welcome to the Yellow Block pre-match show on the TalkSport Network. My name is Dan and today I'll be joined by Keelan Sarlin. Keelan, how are we?
Oh, sorry, Sarlin. I think you said Sarlin by accident. Sorry.
Sorry, mate. No, I'm terrible with names.
Wait, people usually get the first name wrong, so.
I remember this from last time. Right, Sarlin.
Sarlin, like the vinegar.
Less of it every day. Hello and welcome to the Yellow Block, the pre-match show on the TalkSport Network. My name's Dan and today I'll be joined by Keelan Sarlin. Keelan, how are we?
Yeah, we're all good, mate. You?
Yeah, not too bad myself. It's been better, obviously. You know, things on the pitch have been a bit dismal for Posh.
Yeah, no, it's not been great. I remember last time when we did this podcast, I think we were winning games, keeping clean sheets, and it's slightly unravelled in the last few matches.
Seems like a distant memory, that's for sure. As we record, this is on Tuesday night. Peterborough are about 20 minutes into the game against Cheltenham. So you may have some updates live as we see them throughout that game as well, if you are listening at home. Obviously, as I say, as we're recording, four games on the trot now without a win. It's not really looking too great. Things are a bit dismal in terms of chance creation. Defending is about the poorest I remember it being for a long while. On paper, it looks potentially better than it does on the pitch if you're watching, because I don't know if you've seen some of the games recently, Keelan. It has been dismal.
Yeah, no, I was at Portsmouth away and Leyton Orient at home, and yeah, some of the defending away at Portsmouth, obviously, Romany Critchlow's not had the best of starts in a Posh shirt. I think he came quite hyped from Bradford, obviously signed him from the Championship as well, so you expect a lot from him. And I think he's been 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10 most matches. And then touching more upon the Leyton Orient home game, you go 1-0 up and there's just such a lack of urgency or invention. And when you're playing against a team that has just been promoted up to the division, you want to get a goal and then go 2-0 up and then convincingly win. And I don't know, we just didn't really look up for it. And in the end, Orient probably could have won the game.
Yeah, definitely. This is the thing. You mentioned Critchlow and you know, the hype that he came with from Bradford. I think Tim touched on this on the main show. You know, there was also a lot of, you know, hesitancy in that Bradford base of you know, has he actually got the ability to defend at this level? And, you know, if there's question marks from the league below, it's certainly sort of, you know, not filling me with hope, that's for sure. And I think we're definitely seeing those reservations in play. You know, every time he plays, he just looks very ropey. He looks unsure of himself, is the nicest way to put it. And yeah, you just can't have that in defence, especially not in this league, and especially not when we're conceding the way we are. I'm not saying every goal is his fault, because of course it's not, you know, we concede when he's not in the side as well. But no, I think it's comedy of errors in that defence at the moment, and he's certainly not helping. So let's touch on the reason we're here. We're here to talk about the Bolton game coming up on Saturday. Big away game this. Obviously, we've not had the greatest of histories against Bolton, especially not in recent times. Since April 2017, we've played Bolton 6 times. Of those games, we have lost 4, drawn 1, and won 1. The win was in December of 2019, obviously COVID season, not too long before the curtail of the season. In that time, it's also worth noting, and you know, if you're big stats fans, you'll close your ears for this one, I'm sure. We've conceded 11 times in those 6 games, of course, including the 5-0 loss suffered last season, only scoring once. So not the greatest of reads. We will be joined ever so shortly by a Bolton fan, Sam, who will go through the ins and outs of the team, what we can expect when we play Bolton. But just in the meantime, Keenan, let's just touch on Bolton and what they potentially want to focus on. You know, what have Posh's weaknesses been in the last few weeks?
Well, I think they're immediately going to look at the fact that last season they put 5 past us at home. Our defence looked ropey. Obviously, you concede 7 to Derby and Portsmouth, 2 matches in a row. And then, I think they'll try to exploit our defence and exploit the fact that maybe it's not a settled back four. I think a lot of the teams that we played against recently, especially Pompey away, Gavin White up against Harrison Burrows, it seems that most teams, when they play us, try and target Burrows as a bit of a weak link. Obviously, he plays at left back again tonight. It'll be interesting to see if he plays in that position against Bolton as well. But there's a lot of weak links in our side at the moment. And it's not as if we're free flowing on the other end either. We're not really scoring that many goals either. So yeah, it's not going to be, if I was to predict it now, it might not be the best away day for Posh fans.
Yeah, I think it's good that you touched there on, you know, the fact that we're not really clicking an attack. Obviously, Fergie teams at Posh have been sort of, you know, very attack orientated. It's always been a outscore the opponent rather than, you know, clean, decisive defensive performances. But we're not really getting that anymore, are we? You know, I think I touched on it at the start of the season that, yeah, maybe we were starting to see a bit of a switch over in terms of styles, maybe, you know, a bit more of a defensively sound game where we're a bit more clinical. We get the goals and just sit behind them. Obviously, you know, 6 games later, that's clearly not the case. And you know, we're conceding left, right and centre and just not putting the way on the other side. You know, it's one thing to say you're a team that concedes a lot. It's a big difference when you can't also say that you score a lot. Which obviously has been the MO of Posh under Fergie. Let's stick to Bolton. Obviously, our formation in recent games has been quite wide, obviously with the attacking midfielders, the solitary striker. Are you expecting much of a difference in our formation and our tactics?
Well, I mean, against Leyton Orient, we saw the dreaded return of the diamond momentarily, which is interesting to see, and it really didn't work. And then if you look at the formation tonight, it is back seemingly to that solitary striker. So you'd imagine away at Bolton, we'll probably go with something similar, but who knows at the moment, because it seems Fergie's really unsettled with who's his best lineup and what's the best formation to get the most out of the team.
Yeah, there definitely seems to be a bit of an unsettled side. Obviously, we're not going to touch on it too much today, But in the Cheltenham game, there has been a drop in captaincy. Ephraim Mason-Clark and Burrows, neither wearing the armband. It has actually gone to Kyoso today. It was a bit of a strange one, but obviously we'll touch on that on the main show next week. I really don't know why he keeps going to the diamond. It's, what is this, the 6th, 7th time we've tried it? And, oh God, it never works. You know, if we can stick a bit more than a couple of games, I'd be surprised. But I'm very happy we're not seeing it again tonight.
Yeah, no, he always seems to result for the diamond when he's, you know, out of ideas a little bit. And yeah, it's just strange to see Harrison Burrows start again when you've got players like Zach Sturge on the bench and Joel Randall through the middle has been quite ineffective recently, and Burrows might be better suited in that number 10. So some bewildering tactical choices, lineup and formation wise.
Absolutely.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With two in three football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
So we are now joined by Bolton fan Sam Cummings. Sam, thank you for joining us.
Not a problem, gents. Cheers for having me.
So let's not sort of beat around the bush. Let's get straight in about it. Tough Sheet Stadium. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, when it was announced, there's a few rumours going around. Obviously, kind of a few like semi-local businesses, the rumours of it being the AO Stadium and that sort of thing. In fairness, Tough Sheet, I think it's certainly the best value sponsorship deal we've ever had. I know they've put a lot, and to be honest, rightly so, you'd want a lot of money for calling your stadium that. And I suppose there's a lot of meme value to it when we do walk away 3 points at home, which we've been doing most of the time this season, to be honest. But yeah, it's not the worst one we've had. I mean, it's gone from Reebok, Macron, University of Bolton. Some continuity would be nice. Everyone locally still calls it the Reebok, pretty much, to be honest. It'll always be the Reebok to the majority of Bolton fans, I think.
Yeah, certainly can attest to that one. I quite like the Uni Bowl when it was around. Obviously, that was a quite out there name in terms of, you know, UK stadium names. It seemed a bit more American. But, you know, obviously, you know, you've got the new sponsorship deal, and if Bolton fans don't like it, I guess it's Tough Sheet.
It certainly is.
terrible jokes aside, let's focus on Bolton. So I was just telling Keelan that, you know, our record against you as of late has not been fantastic. So, as I mentioned, six games since 2017, four losses, one win, one draw, 11 goals conceded in that time and only one scored for Peterborough.
So you've five got of those are in one game, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, but even then, you know, you've got a tendency to put them past us. And it's not been the greatest of histories, especially going away. So, you know, have you got any fond memories of, apart from that 5-0 game? Let's not dwell on that one too much, but have you got any fond memories of Peterborough games at Bolton?
To be honest, I mean, the 5-0 one was a highlight. I actually, I was over in Ireland for that one, and was sat in a bar with a few pals, drinking a few Guinnesses. I think Ireland were playing rugby as well at the time, so it was just on Sky Sports News, and just we couldn't believe it when the scores kept popping up, especially with Santos bagging a brace. I think it was his first and second ever goal for Bolton. So,
of course, and then
yeah, it was. I think he scored the week after, and yeah, not to be seen since. no, I think he did get on in he got on a couple of weeks ago actually in the cup, I believe. But yeah, he's not a free scorer, Santos. But yeah, that's the main one. I think we did beat you at home last season as well. Was it towards the back end of the season, if I remember right?
Yes.
All right.
Again, we'll not touch on
on
those horrible performances from Peterborough. But let's move on to your manager. Obviously, Ian Everett, manager since 2020 now, officially a minority owner of the club as well, having been given shares in the White's Co. That took over after the administration scare. What are your thoughts on Ian? You know, do you like his style of play? Do you think, you know, he's welcome at the club?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure you get it at pretty much every club. There are people that still, you know, that still questioning Everett. I mean, and on the whole, he does make some shady decisions, particularly when it comes to substitutions and impacting matches. His style of play, you can see what he's trying to do, and getting a team in League One to play some of the football we play. It's it's fantastic to watch. I mean, I've lived through Keith Hill and Phil Parkinson. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't a pretty style of football. He seems to know the sort of players he wants to bring in. And we do seem to have, we generally seem to have decent transfer windows. I think the last couple haven't been quite as much of an improvement, but obviously as you move, you know, we've gone from League Two to kind of just wanting to consolidate in League One to then obviously, like yourselves, defeated playoff semi-finalists last year. And to be realistically, we want to be targeting automatic promotion this season. I would deem this season a failure if we don't make that top two this season. We've had a bit of money to spend, nothing that's going to uproot any trees, but we've actually signed a few players for actual currency, which we've not seen at Bolton for quite a while now. Obviously, our financial troubles are well documented. But no, I think a few off-field issues aside that we won't go into too heavily. I'm sure some of the Bolton, certainly some of the Wigan fans, if any of them are listening, if there are any of them about, we'll know about. But no, I'm a big fan of Ian Everett. I think he's definitely the right man to lead us forward. And I think he's possibly the biggest asset we have at the club.
Interesting. Okay. So obviously you mentioned that automatics is the goal and, you know, where you're finding yourself at the moment. You're seventh in the table, 4 wins from 7. Obviously, it is early days. Of course it is. And it's far too early to be looking at the table in any sort of, you know, prediction of where it might end up in 40 games time. But are you happy with the start to the season so far? Obviously, you know, we'll take the Wigan result aside where you lost 4-0 at home.
Yeah, I mean, I was having a quick look at your fixtures earlier today and your results. I think we've had a broadly similar start to the season. I mean, we started off absolutely flying. I think it was 3-0, 3-0 and 3-1, our first three league games. And then that took us into Wigan at home, obviously full of confidence. Unfortunately, Dion Charles, who we'll go into, I imagine we'll discuss that briefly later, he was sent off wrongly in kind of most people's opinion, to be honest. With it, it was a second yellow, so there's no appealing. But Charles being our talisman, probably pretty similar to Clark Harris for yourselves. And yeah, obviously, the less said about that Wigan game at home, the better. 3-0 down at half-time. I was racking up on the pool table in my local pub by the time the second half kicked off. I've sat and watched us get beat by them banjo pluckers too many times, I'm afraid. I think it's the second match I've ever left at half-time in my life. But I wasn't sitting through it again. But yeah, then I don't suppose you could call a 1-1 draw on the road to Burton, a bounce back. But yeah, like I said, three wins, a draw and 2 losses. Obviously, the Reading result at the weekend was another disappointing one. That we seem to be left with a lot of injury problems at the minute, which is going to happen to any club at certain stages. Seems to always happen to us at critical times. I know, as I was mentioning before about Charles being pretty much our main man in terms of the goals scored, he's an injury doubt for Saturday, which I'm sure you'll be pleased to hear.
Yeah, sounds fantastic.
Yeah, another thing that I was reading before is I believe the ref that we've got on Saturday, he's sent off Santos twice in his last two games refereeing us. So yeah, you can be nailed on another red card for Bolton. I mean, you seem to be attracting a lot of reds in your games at the minute. So, you know, Cheltenham down to 10 tonight, aren't they?
Yes. There has been an instance in that game where a player's been seemingly kicked in the head. Their player's been sent off.
Yeah, stick a fiver on that ref being card happy again on Saturday for sure.
Well, I don't think any Posh fans would be upset if Santos got sent off. Obviously, he's a player that we know quite well. So,
yeah, I mean, I think the last few times he does seem to have had Clark Harris in his back pocket as well, which there's not a lot of centre halves in this league that have managed to do.
Well, I don't know if you've seen us this season, but actually, plenty have.
Has he got a couple this season?
I believe it's one in the league.
One in the league and one in the cup. Yeah, I did have a quick look before. Do you think he'll be off in January out of interest? Because I know he's not signed a new contract, has he?
Well, obviously, there was a bit of a debacle on the last day where he was supposed to join Rovers and it fell through because of the paperwork. De Gea, Real Madrid a couple of years ago. Yeah, I can't see him staying much longer, especially with the team going the way it is. He's a very good player, obviously, 2-time Golden Boot winner, and there's got to be plenty of teams sniffing.
You'd think so. I mean, I know there was certainly, from our side, obviously, when he was available, there was, again, Bolton Twitter seem to want to sign any striker that's available. You know, there's talk about what's his name from Markham, who ended up going to Burton.
Cole Stockton.
Yeah, we were for about 2.5 seasons. We, you know, they were always on Twitter saying, "Oh, we need to get Stockton. We need to get Stockton." And now it's Clark. Then it's Clark Harris. I don't know what he would have been available for. I know. I mean, it's sort of your policy to transfer list anyone in the last year of the contract, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it is.
I don't know what sort of figure you would have been looking for. That's much more than we could afford.
Well, the rumour in terms of Rovers' fee was in the region of 800k, I believe.
Yeah, I think that might have been a bit out of our reach, to be honest. I mean, with saying that, I don't know how we paid. I know we paid actual pennies for Dan and Lunderloo from Southampton, who's he's not looked fantastic. Adebiejo was dreadful last season after paying about, I think it's just under $500,000 from Burton. And he's been pretty dreadful this season, apart from one first half hat trick, which is nice, but it does seem to be a bit of a purple patch. So assuming Charles isn't fit, you can see us being a bit toothless up top next on Saturday, which I'm sure is good news for you, gentlemen.
I was going to mention the Reading defeat at the weekend, obviously. Do you think that'll have a knock-on effect heading into this one, or will Bolton just shrug that off and bounce back, do you reckon?
I think my main concern with the Reading defeat, obviously, it's always going to be a kick in the teeth when you're leading for the vast majority of a game and then ended up walking away with nothing. I think it was certainly two goals post 80th minute that we conceded after. I mean, I wasn't at the game. I was listening to the commentary. It sounded like we had plenty of chances that we didn't put away. I think the main concern will be, obviously, Charles's injury. Owen Toll, who's just sort of come back to full fitness, he picked up a second yellow late on, so he'll be suspended. I think our main concern, going back to Everton and his substitutions, that's the main thing. We never seem to improve when we make changes, kind of, you know, on the hour mark, you know, 65, 70 minutes. Cameron Jerome is not proving himself to be a good option to bring off the bench, I'm afraid, and he seems insistent on bringing him on about 70 minutes for reasons best known to himself. I'm not sure who we'd start with up top on Saturday. It'd be nice to see Jon Daddy Bodvarsson back. I know he's still kind of trying to get back to full fitness after an ankle injury, kind of back end of last season, to be honest. He's been out quite a while. But yeah, hopefully we'll bounce back. I mean, you've got to bounce back from poor results like that. And knowing Everton, he will be demanding a reaction from the players. It's just, like I say, we are a bit threadbare with our squad at the minute. Two signings we've made to strengthen our midfield, and Paris Magoma on loan from Brentford, as well as Carlos Mendes Gomez from Luton. They're both out till mid-October, end of October, with various muscular injuries. So we're just looking a little bit thin on the ground. It's going to be interesting to see what team he puts out. Whether you could potentially even see a change of fortune, a change of formation, who knows?
Let's touch on the key threats then. Obviously, you've mentioned a few names there yourself. Deion Charles is obviously the joint top scorer in the league with 5 goals in 6 games. But obviously, as you mentioned, there's a potential injury worry for him at the weekend. Victor Adebayo, joint third top scorer with 4 goals in 7. So, you know, there's obviously goals in the team. Obviously, as you mentioned, you were scoring quite freely in the opening games of the season. It's dried up maybe a little bit now. But, you know, let's take Adebayo and Deion Charles out of the picture for a second. Who would you say is your next biggest threat, the player that Peterborough fans need to be weary of?
Dempsey, who sort of plays in that sort of kind of number 8 role, sometimes advancing into a sort of 10 slot. Dempsey really gets himself about. He's only a little fella, but he really mucks in defensively. But he's always a threat. He doesn't mind a pop from distance every now and again. Dacus Cogley, he's been pretty much ever present, certainly in the league at right wing back. He's sort of signed him. To be honest, I think we brought him in to be second choice right wing back. Never actually ended up getting a first choice right wing back. So he's certainly started every game in the league for us this season, I believe. He's looked really threatening, not so much as a goal threat, but we seem to love that diagonal ball across the right wing for him to run onto, and he does like to play, you know, play some dangerous balls into the box. I think Adebayo's hat trick that he got, I think two of those were that exact same goal. I think it's left centre back, diagonal over to the right wing back, and then just a pull back across the box for a tap in for Adebayo. I think that's certainly something we'll be looking to do, especially, I mean, especially when, if you've not got Charles doing sort of the ratting centre forwards work, kind of doing, you know, doing all the pressing. Aside from that, we're looking a bit thin on the ground for threats, really. So we've got a few different options in the midfield, even without Magoma and Mendes Gomez. I would imagine Thomason will start again. Not a massive goal threat, but he's, you know, sort of that number six role, sort of bit of a holding midfielder, but he has, you know, he can play, you know, just play some decent football, decent passes as well. It's hard to call, to be honest, because I really don't know who he's going to go with, certainly up front, assuming Charles isn't fit. Adebayo will play, unless there's any late injury worries that we don't know about. It's who's going to start with him. It'll be either Dan and Lundaloo, possibly Bob Varson, or, God forbid, Cameron Jerome. But if Cameron Jerome starts at 38 in League One, having scored zero goals in nearly 12 months now, I'm not sure I'll stick out the whole match, to be honest.
Fair enough. So obviously it's difficult to put it down with the match so far away, and obviously, you know, not really knowing what the lineups might be for either side. I'm gonna try and trouble you for a score prediction on both of your ends. So Sam, will go with you first. Score prediction, please, for Saturday.
0-0.
I think most posh fans would take that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a drab 0-0. Like I said, I just can't see us providing much of a threat. I hope I'm proven wrong. I mean, I don't mean to keep bringing up the 5-0 gents. I really don't. But I remember really not expecting anything from that game either. And just shows how football can surprise you at times. Usually disappointingly, but there we go. But yeah, I think it's got 0-0 written all over it.
Fair enough. Keelan, score prediction, please.
Well, I think from my memory, I've seen Posh play Bolton three times. We've lost 5-0, 3-0 and 1-0. Which it doesn't make for good reading. I'm going to have to go 1-0 Bolton because currently we're playing 10 men Cheltenham and it's 0-0 nearly at half-time.
Yeah, I can certainly echo those sentiments. For me, I think we never really travel well to the Northwest in general. It's 2-1 defeat for me. I think that's the fairest prediction I can give. Bookies have it very similar. Even odds for the home win, draw and away win, both at 5-2. So yeah, not really in Posh's favour at all. But obviously Saturday, we'll see what we're made of and go from there. I will hand you off now to Tim's Away Day Guide.
Tim's Away Day Guide, brought to you by Get the Badge In. Here we are then, back with another Away Day Guide, and this time I solemnly swear not to delete it from my computer before we release it, a la Portsmouth, which was by far one of the best I've ever done. Never mind, YOLO, let's redeem ourselves with Bolton and a trip to the Northwest for a visit to the, wait for it, Tough Sheet Community Stadium. If you can't make it to this one, well, Tough Sheet. Made the trip and we get battered? Tough Sheet. Potties will find themselves perched in the self stand for this one, and if you don't like the view, well, Tough Sheet. No, I promise that's the last one. We have an initial allocation of 3,000, and those that do travel will enjoy this, I think. Decent leg room and good facilities, pretty good, and the stadium itself is iconic, so if you haven't been, it is worth ticking it off your list if you're able. The away fans that share the south stand often contain a drummer, so the atmosphere is good and the acoustics are what you'd expect for a modern ground. Two warnings though, the stewards can sometimes be a tad overzealous, so do behave and check the weather. The bottom rows of the lower tier aren't covered, so you will get wet down that part of the stand. And if you do get wet, well, yeah, Tough Sheet. It turns out I lied about that being the last one, doesn't it? Tough Sheet. In terms of getting to this one, let's start with the train. Some good news, there's no planned strikes on Saturday, hurrah. Relatively easy on the choo-choos as well, and potentially quicker than driving too. One option is Peterborough to Doncaster with London North Eastern, then Donny to Sheffield with Cross Country, Sheffield to Manchester with East Midlands Railway, and finally Manchester to Bolton with Northern. That's going to be your quickest route of just over 3 hours. If you do favour more direct options, then Peterborough to Manchester with East Midlands and Manchester to Bolton with Northern is your most direct option, but does take a bit longer.
Both these routes take you to Bolton's main station, and in all cases you would then need to get another local service to Horwich Railway Station, which is the closest to the Tough Sheet. It's only a few minutes walk when you finally get there, and the station is served by trains regularly on match day. In the car, it's the A1 and then the M62. Alternatively, you could go west and pick up the M6 north of Birmingham. Whichever you do choose once you do get there, you need to leave the M61 at Bolton at Junction 6. You'll see the ground at this point and it's clearly signposted. You can park at the ground, but you're advised to book in advance for that one. And there are a handful of industrial units nearby which also offer the normal cash-in-hand parking on the day. Lowstock Lane is, in my experience, the best place to find these, and you can often get stuck trying to get away from the ground on match day, so again, Lowstock Lane is worth a punt. Do factor that into your planning, particularly getting back onto the M61, that can get quite busy. Pre-match drinks can be found at the Beehive on Chorley New Road, Tough Sheet, which is about 10-15 minutes away on foot. The upside is there is parking there too, but obviously, you know, don't drink and drive. They do food there as well, yay Jared, and it's a big old place, so it can easily hold the travelling poshies. Another option is the Barnstormers pub on Lowstock Lane, so if you do park on one of the industrial units there, check out the Barnstormers as your pre-match bevy option. Alternatively, there is alcohol served inside the ground. Don't like the selection though, bad luck. Normal range of food inside the ground, but be warned, the design here at half-time doesn't equate to quick service, so be prepped for some busy queues in the half-time snack scrum. Interesting facts about Bolton, other than the fact that our top knot lives there. Well, with a population of just over 250,000, it's one of the biggest towns in our fine country. It's produced a plethora of radio DJs, such as Sarah Cox, Vernon Kay and Mark Radcliffe, to name a few. And an internet survey in 2016 resulted in Boltonians being voted the friendliest people in Britain. Now, I thought those facts were quite interesting. If you didn't, Tough Sheet. If you are going, enjoy and be sure to look out for our top knot. You can't miss him. He'll be the one that's moaning. Stay safe. Enjoy. Up the posh.
I think I've touched on everything, gents. Is there anything that either of you wanted to mention that's not been mentioned?
Not really. I forgot all about that 3-0 game, to be honest. That was going back a while now.
I just remember being there. It was dreadful.
I think you would. I don't think you were in any danger of relegation or anything, were you? But I remember.
I think it cost us promotion.
Did it?
No, I think it might have been one of those weird
seasons. Did it cost you playoffs, mate?
I think it's one of those weird seasons where we finished like middle of the road. I think it was after Westlead maybe had gone or something.
I'm sure I remember thinking before the game that you didn't really have anything to play for, and obviously we were playing for automatic. So I remember being really confident going into that. I think I was working in France and I'd come back just for the game actually. So yeah, I think I'm pretty confident.
Did Ulster team play for Bolton that day?
I don't know whether he played. I think he was certainly in the team. I know Jem Karachan scored the first goal. I'm sure it was when Ulster was with us, but I don't know if he actually played. He didn't see. He was one of those where we signed and everyone thought it was going to be the League One Messi, and yeah, he barely played.
He's most hit and miss footballer ever, Ulster teamer.
Yeah, I did know a girl who was dating him for a while, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah. Said he was a lovely fella.
He's a nice guy.
So, thank you for joining us for this episode of The Yellow Block. Don't forget, you can hit us up on socials at The Yellow Block. If you want to leave us a voice note on SpeakPipe, you can do that too as well. It's speakpipe.com/The Yellow Block. As always, this has been part of the TalkSport Network, and up the posh.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.